you all. Just for those who have been concerned about Jennifer and I got a personal message in the bulletin. I want to make sure you read that. Nobody told me to put that in there. Nobody even knew I was going to put it in there. That is straight from my heart to yours. And we appreciate so much everybody that has been contacting us. But, hey, we are at Austinville to do the work. And we're not worried about anything else. And that's what we want everybody to be focused on. But we love and appreciate you. And I know from the last couple of weeks that we are loved here. And that means a lot to us. And we thank you for that. I want to talk today about something. I have been doing a series on the authority in religion. And I want to talk about something today that goes along with the idea of authority. And that is, when it comes to us and our relationship to God, following His Word, where do we look to find the answers, or where do we look to get approval for what we need to do? I had a good relationship with a young lady back in my hometown. We were studying the Scriptures, and she believed everything she saw in the Scriptures. She believed everything she saw in the Scriptures, but yet she still needed confirmation, and so she had to go talk to someone to get confirmation as to whether she was reading what she was reading in the Bible was accurate or not. And you know, sadly, she never came around to doing what she knew she needed to do because of that confirmation that she needed. The lesson I want to talk to you today about has to do with the subject of whether Peter the Apostle was the first pope. This sermon here is not to talk about the pope. It's not, I don't even know the pope. It's not to talk about whether or not the pope is false or whether or not the pope is true. This lesson today is to look at the authority of the Scriptures and what the Scriptures have to say about whether or not God has placed certain people on the earth, whether it's the pope, whether it's me, whether it's elders, or whether it's deacons, or who. Has God placed certain people on this earth that we must get approval from in order for us to do what the Scriptures actually say do? Now, to begin with, I want to look at a few quotations from Mr. Saunders right here. Mr. Saunders says, in Catholic tradition, the foundation for the office of Pope is indeed found primarily in Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Our Lord said to Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The name change itself from Simon to Peter indicates that the apostle had been called to a special role in leadership. The Catechism, the Catholic Catechism, also backs up what Mr. Williams says, because it states, the Lord made Simon alone, whom he named Peter, the rock of his church, gave him the keys of his church, and instituted him shepherd over the whole flock. This pastoral office of Peter and the other apostles belongs to the church's very foundation, and is continued by the bishops under the primacy of the Pope. The Pope, Bishop of Rome, and Peter's successor, is the perpetual and visible source and foundation of the unity both of the bishops and the whole company of the faithful. Mr. Williams goes on to say in the next slide something similar to what the Catechism says here. For the Roman pontiff, by reason of his office and vicar of Christ, as a pastor of the entire church, has full, supreme, and universal power over the whole church, a power which he can always exercise unhindered. That's a lot of power for one individual on earth. Mr. Williams says, Jesus entrusted Peter with the keys of the kingdom as a sign of his position, like the Catechism just stated. The one who held the keys represented the king, acted with his authority, and had to act in accord with the king's mind. Therefore, St. Peter and each of his successors represent our Lord on this earth as his vicar and lead the faithful flock of the church to the kingdom of heaven. This statue here is a symbol of Peter holding the key, being the position of authority, a representation of Christ here on earth, and having the sole authority to interpret Scripture or change if necessary. Mr. Williams says, Jesus says, whatever you declare bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you declare loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here Christ entrusted a special authority to St. Peter to preserve, interpret, and teach his truth. Therefore, according to Mr. Saunders and the Catholic Catechism, all bishops, all popes are the only ones who are allowed to interpret the scriptures. So what we teach, what we learn from the scriptures is not enough. We've got to make sure that through them, what we believe is accurate. So I want to look at something today from Matthew chapter 16. Turn your Bibles over there. I want to analyze just one part. I'm not going to analyze verse number 19, where it says that Jesus gave the keys of the kingdom to Peter. I want to analyze verse number 18, which they say is where Jesus built his church on Peter. Now, when we look at the scriptures, we see a totally different picture as to what and whom God built the church upon. In Matthew 16, 18, let's look at the context. We're going to look at the context instead of just looking at one verse, verse 18. I'm not going to look at it in the definition of words today. If you want a more in-depth study on your own, by all means, pull out you some concordances and look up some definition of these words. It's an interesting study. But I'm going to let the scriptures today define what it means itself. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Also I say unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now, let's look at the subject under consideration. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say I am?" And so the subject under consideration is, who is Jesus? Not who is Peter. Not who is Paul. Who is Jesus? Jesus says, "Who am I?" Verse 14, so they said to him, this includes Peter. They said to him, "Some people say you're John the Baptist. Some people say you're Elijah. And some people say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets." There was an identity problem. The people didn't know who Jesus was. And Jesus wanted to know, did they understand his true identity and who he was? And so Jesus realized that they didn't know. And so he looked at his disciples and said to them in verse 15, "Okay, I say to you, since the people don't know who I am, who do you say I am? Apostles, do you know who I am?" Not who Peter is, not who John is, not who Paul is, but do you know who I am? And Peter spoke up and said, "Yes, we do. You, Jesus, you are the Christ. You, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God." And so the question to who am I is answered. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. Not Peter, not John, not Paul. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Son of the living God. That is Jesus' proper identity. The subject under consideration is not who Peter is, not who John is, and not who Paul is, but what is the identity of Jesus Christ? And because Peter said Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." What's the this? The this is the fact that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "Blessed are Simon Barjona, that flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I also say to you, Peter, that you are Peter, and on this," what's the this? The this is not Peter. Peter was not the subject under consideration. The subject under consideration is who Jesus is. And Jesus says to Peter that you are Peter. Yes, you're a rock. You're a small stone. But on this rock, on this stone, I'm going to build my church. Now, what rock is that? Is that rock Peter or Jesus? If Jesus was so concerned about who Peter is, then why didn't he begin by saying, "Who do men say Peter is?" He didn't. He said, "Who do men say I am?" So Jesus went on this long conversation about his identity, trying to figure out, did the people understand his identity, only to get to verse 18 and say, "Okay, I'm through with me now. Now I'm going to build my church on Peter," because Peter's identity is what's important. if we look at it from a common sense perspective, it doesn't even make sense. But what did Jesus build his church on? Who did he build his church on? Did he build his church on Peter, who names means rock? Or did he build his church on himself, who is also considered a rock or a stone? Let's let the Bible tell us. If we go all the way back to the Old Testament time and look at prophecies, we will find no prophecy of Peter being a stone or a rock that God was going to build his kingdom on, his church on. Nowhere. But if we go back, we will find a verse or verses that tell us that Jesus will be the stone or Jesus will be the rock. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 16, God said through the prophet, I lay in Zion a stone, not stones, plural, a stone. I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Now, according to this prophecy, there was only one stone that he was going to lay as a foundation, a cornerstone. It either is Jesus or it's Peter. If it's Jesus, it can't be Peter. If it's Peter, it can't be Jesus. Because God was only going to lay a stone, one stone. I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tri-stone, singular again, a precious cornerstone, singular again, a sure foundation, singular again, and whoever believes will not act hastily. Who is he talking about in this verse right here? Peter or Jesus? In the New Testament, we find out, turn your Bibles over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And let's look at some verses right here together. 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn your Bibles over there if you have them. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start at verse number 4. As you read these verses, think about the prophecy of Isaiah. In 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse number 4, Peter is encouraging these followers of Christ to come to... By the way, Peter, the one many say Jesus built his church on, is the very one who is saying this right here to us. Let's see, is he talking about himself or Jesus? Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones and are built upon a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. Therefore, it is also, notice, therefore it is also contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Notice what Peter does. Peter quotes Isaiah 28 and verse number 16. Look at verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. Notice, not me. I'm not precious. He is precious. Jesus is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. In this whole context here, Peter is talking about Jesus, and he did not mention himself one time. Unless we say he mentioned himself in the sense of being a living stone with the other Christians in the body of Christ. But let me show you another verse. Turn your Bibles over to the book of Acts chapter 4 and verse number 8 beginning. The same apostle Peter here tells us something else. Acts chapter 4 beginning with verse 8. Through verse number 12. Acts 4, 8 through 12. Notice what Peter says in verse number 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means has he been made whole? Now let's stop for a minute. Peter said, we have done a good deed. We have made a man whole. But how did it come about? Now, this is the perfect time for Peter to say, it came about because God has made me the vicar. God has made me the one who is over the flock. And through me, as a representative of Christ here on earth, this deed has been done. But Peter doesn't speak of himself. Notice who Peter speaks of.
Look at verse number 10.
Let it be known to all, and to all the people of Israel, that by, notice, the name of Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. Who is Jesus, Peter? Verse 11. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Peter said, Jesus is the stone that Isaiah's prophecy was talking about. Now let's look at it logically speaking. Isaiah 28 verse 16 says that God was going to lay a stone, not multiple stones, one stone in Zion. Peter said, Jesus is that stone. Therefore, if Jesus is the stone, Peter cannot be. By his own admission. Turn your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 17. And let me show you how God feels about people taking the spotlight off of Jesus. Who Jesus is, what he came to do. This is the Mount of Transfiguration. And what do you know? Peter, as oftentimes, happened to be there. And in Matthew chapter 17, beginning verse number 1, watch what we have here. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, laid him up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face was shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared with him, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Notice, if Peter had any kind of authority for changing what the will of God is, he would have got away with it here. But he did not have any authority, and because he didn't have any authority to change God's will, notice what happened. Look at the next verse, verse 5. While he was still speaking, God didn't even let him finish. God said, close your mouth, boy. Listen up just a minute. I've got something you need to hear. And in that verse, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You better listen to him and to no one else. God told Peter, Peter, get in line. You need to listen to my son. God told Peter, you have no right to change my plan. God told Peter, you have no right to change the things that are recorded in my word and in my will. You must listen to my son. And anything that my son says or anything that my son instructs you to do, you follow that and nothing else. And that's important. And this is why Paul said what he said in Galatians chapter 1. Turn your Bibles over to Galatians chapter 1. Beginning with verse number 6. Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse number 6. Paul said, I am so surprised, or I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you to the grace of Christ, to a different gospel, which there is not another, but there be some who trouble you and who would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now watch what Paul says. Paul says, if we, who is the we? The we includes Paul. The we includes John. The we includes James. The we includes you. The we includes me. And the we includes Peter. If we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, that if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. You know what that means? Here's what that means. That means if you are studying the scriptures and the scriptures instruct you to do something, I can't come along and tell you anything differently. You don't need approval from me to obey God. And if I do say anything that's different than what's in this book right here, God says, I am accursed. I am accursed. The only person that God has built his church upon is Jesus. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse number 18, upon this rock I will build my church, he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking about the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 16. And that's the fact that I am the stone, I am the rock, I am the Christ, I am the Son of God. And upon me, the church will be built. Because it's only in me that the gates of hell will not prevail. The church can only stand the test of time. It can only stand against the forces of evil. It can only stand against the gates of hell if it is built upon a sure foundation. And Paul said that that foundation is Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 11, Paul said, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid. Jesus is the stone that God built his church upon. He's the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets together, not just Peter, not just Paul, but the apostles and Paul together make up part of that foundation on which you and I as living stones come together and finish the building process of God's holy temple. We have only one authority in religion, you all. Only one authority. And that authority is this right here. That authority is not our opinions. That authority is not things that we feel strongly about. That authority is not some preacher. That authority is not a body of elders, a group of deacons, some bishop somewhere who calls himself a doctor, some bishop somewhere who calls himself a pastor, some bishop somewhere who calls himself a vicar or whatever. We only have one authority, and that authority is the Word of God. And as long as we stand upon what this says, we don't have to check with anybody else. If you're here today and you have not acted upon this authority because you've been trying to get the approval of other people in your lives, you've been trying to wait on people to tell you what you need to do, wait no longer. The Word of God has told you already what you need to do. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9 tells us that Jesus has become the author of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. Not who obeys someone else, but who obeys him. And if you're here today and you want to obey Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, do that before it's eternally too late. Tomorrow is not promised. It's not promised to any of us. We're dying quickly, y'all. All races, all ages, all genders. Take this opportunity while it's here. If you are a child of God and you've strayed away or you need to repent of something in your life, make that known today. Make your life right before it's eternally too late. If you have a need and we can help in any kind of way, please come as together we stand and sing.